Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's good, y'all? It's that time of the year, and we've got bills to pay. So if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some new merch. If about 10% of you listening right now donate $10 to support the show, we'd have enough to cover an entire year's worth of cost of production. Over the years, I've been very intentional about turning down ads for things that didn't align with our values, so you don't have to listen to us talk about gambling or boner pills or any of that other. But that's only possible through the support of you, our listeners. So we've created some new ways for you to support. And again, if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some of our new merch. And of course, don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Now let's get into today's show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. If you're seeing this visually, you're getting a bubble of my head because my shirt's actually pretty inappropriate, and I don't want to get it on.
Hey, rule number one is always don't get fired.
Right? I don't even want to say it. Okay, it was a great gift, though. Anywho. Roll it with a much more awesome. I like the throwback Nike script over the Nike swoosh on the Oregon shirt you're wearing. But I love that look. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, guys. As always a pleasure to record with two of my favorite people in the world. Wish there could have been a third, but you know, life be lifing. Thing about this is probably the only piece of Oregon memorabilia paraphernalia I own, and it's primarily because it's the most corporate amplifying, because this is a part of the Shoe Duck collection, which I think takes inspiration from the Phil Knight autobiography of Shoe Dog that came out a couple years ago. So I was like, if I'm going to be an Oregon fan, let's just jump right into the deep end. But more importantly, Mike, what's going on with you? How are you? Way to match the memo that we all got about dark tones.
Hey, you know what? I got to make sure I'm in uniform. All good over here. I saw your shirt and immediately I was like, how can I get Roy to help me find those mummy duck foam posits? Those are beautiful.
But I think those are team exclusives because I don't know what it is. And maybe initially, because we are in Oregon, we kind of get immune to how much turnover that there is in Oregon football apparel.
Yeah.
But between this, which I know I'm kind of corporate man Malhotra over here, where I'm like, I like this, but that mummy duck thing is some of the most inspired Oregon duck gear I've seen in a while. And I only wish it could have been even closer to Halloween to really just kind of drive home that point.
There's some sweet duck gear. And I was lamenting, I haven't gone to a Ducks game since pre-COVID. Roa, if you have any coworkers who are saying how they can't get rid of their tickets, I want to go down there sometime.
You and me both. Let's make it Thelma and Louise style. We'll hold hands really and should. Just say it never rains in Autzen Stadium.
I think I have a LaMichael James. I think it was LaMichael
James.
I have one of his really cool jerseys I haven't worn in many moons. But anywho, fun gear, good wearing stuff. I have what I've been rocking and copping. Well, looking to cop. Should I start off? Do you guys have your...
Break open the seal, my friend.
Yeah, I'll break it open.
Mine are right here next to me. Go for it. Well, I'm trying to pull it over here.
So this is the shoe I've been wearing is a PSA for Short Kings. I'm fortunate to be pretty tall. But if you haven't ever heard of or seen the Adidas Adizero Aruku, A-R-U-K-U, they're on sale. They are definitely comfortable, and it has this stuff called spiral foam that gives you an inch pause.
Yeah.
He said pause.
I mean, it's still on their honeymoon as far as I'm concerned.
So comfortable. If you're seeing this here, these are kind of in like a white and red spider web looking colorway. Spider web. Meant to say Spider-Man. But I went to a Trailblazers event last night, and I'm like, these are the perfect Trailblazer shoes. Extremely comfortable. They're off the Adizero lines. They weigh nothing. But this swirl foam is like, it's stiffer than Boost. It's like closer to what's it called? Boost Plus. But just an absolute banger of a shoe. You can get them on sale right now. If you have smaller feet, check them out. It's a really good model to go for. And then for Coppin, there's actually, well, the AE2, but we'll talk about that later. There's actually two pairs of Gazelles coming out soon that are both really interesting, and I'm kind of digging them both. The first one is a collab with this a store called Kickin' It. It's an Austin-based shop. Mike, have you ever heard of Kickin' It?
Yeah.
Red so Roman. They have Shout a really me. Cool Gazelle coming out, multicolored. It kind of looks like a Sean Weatherspoon shoe, but minus the pretentiousness. There's a Dubray on it that says 512, which I believe is the zip code.
Mm-hmm. Area code.
Area code. Yeah. I always get those two mixed up. But they play homage to the music capital of the world, the live music capital of the world. And it plays homage to the famed Antone's Nightclub, where artists like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Ray Charles, and more cut their teeth. Ray Charles. I don't know. Okay. Oh. Yeah, cut their teeth in the Austin music scene. So multicolored, a lot of really cool patterns, orange, blue, really cool stuff going on there. And then another shop, they're called City Jeans. You might have heard of that one, too. It's like a diamond in the rough themed Gazelle that is like this nice blue and Tiffany blue colorway going on. They're just really clean, man. Diamond in the rough. Think Tiffany. Think that kind of vibe. But that one's a collab with From the Bronx. It's a family-owned sneaker and streetwear shop that has been a trusted name and a cultural anchor of the Bronx for decades. So, thinking about diamonds, how tough the Bronx are. Tiffany blue going well with everything. Gazelles being hot. That's just two different pairs of Gazelles I'm really interested in. So, yeah, I'm an Addy boy right now, man. Those shoes are just comfortable. I love a nice pair of Gazelles. Who doesn't? But just like you get a two-tone of blue going on and just, and you get a Bronx collab. I love being in the Bronx. So, wins. Ro, how about you, man? What are you rocking or copping?
So what I've been rocking is not the traditional sneaker that we're used to, but it has a sneaker touch to it, and that is the Steph Curry Shot Ready book. Think of the old Kobe Bryant Mamba Mentality phone book. Well, it felt like a phone book because it was so heavy, but the photo book that I think he collaborated with a couple NBA journalists on, and it was a really cool insight into who he was as a player and as a teammate and as an evaluator of talent. So I think Steph went a different route in sense of kind of building up a biography of his just personal mythology. And I'm just a sucker for coffee table books. If we ever do coffee table history, I will try to be the Nick Engvall of that. But as for what I'm hoping to cop, we're going to talk about this later on in the episode. There is a Holy Trinity, and dare I say even a Mount Rushmore of cool signature product that's coming out. I think of all the four that's coming out, for me, I'd love to hit on those blue Shea ones. So that would be my hoping copping. But Mike, finish this out. What do you have for your rocking? And more importantly, what are you looking to cop?
Yeah, so my rockin', it's funny that we're talking about basketball shoes. I've been wearing these ever since I got them, the AE2. I think, and I reserve some more thoughts for later, but I think when it comes to what they've done, it's a perfect evolution, and it might be better than the first ones. Very wow. possible.
It Very gives possible. Me Predator vibes, man. Look like they're about to, like...
Dude, I think sports car. It's like it's about to take off, man.
I just wish, and granted, I'm on the other side of the equation, so maybe don't take the advice from the guy working on the other side of the pond. We got to come up with a better title than Predator. Just because anytime I hear, it's giving Predator vibes, I'm like, okay, let me make sure everybody's kids are safe.
Let me just cleanse the palate then, because after I said it, I was like, damn, that's wrong. This one quick honorable mention, we're about to talk basketball shoes, and the Air Force One technically is a retro basketball shoe. The Air Force One Low Sushi Club collab. So
looks amazing.
How do we feel about something like this? Because we can either complain about there being like nothing going on with that shoe, or we can say how Sushi Club's whole motif is having nothing going on with the design. So it fits perfectly. I'm in the camp of it fits the motif. They look great. I like how they have nothing going on. What do you guys think?
It makes sense to me. I mean, yeah, I'm not a big Air Force One guy, but I love materials and that looks great. It makes sense for what that collaboration is, so I have no issues with it.
It's exactly that. If it was a sushi club and they made it look like a cheeseburger, I would be up in arms. Like, how dare you? Like, that is not the aesthetic. That is not the assignment. That is not the brief. But if it feels within the spirit of the brand or the collaboration it's representing, I think we're always going to ride or die for that. So,
ride or die, BX. I'm just so caught up that Adidas Gazelle, Bronx, diamonds, tough, like... It's the little things. It doesn't even have to be like on the shoe. collab, just name it right. Or like, you know, just wordplay. Wordplay rocks. Shout out to the Angel Reese stuff too. We're talking new basketball shoes. Let's start there. Her basketball shoe is debuting. Mike and I both got boxes. Mm-hmm. But one thing I noticed about it is on the bottom of the outsole, it had some little like icons addressing like kind of her style. And I appreciate stuff like that. For years, that was like the minimum and gold standard of a signature shoe. Have like a little bit of storytelling on the outsole. And the Angel Reese shoe successfully does that. My one gripe about that shoe is I don't like the patch on the tongue. It looks like they just
I'll get a pair out. Hold on. Keep going.
Logo on top. But the pink pair looks fantastic. The pearlized pair looks even better. Like, I thoroughly enjoy this iridescent pearl Angel Reese one.
There we go.
They're gangster, man. They look great. That's the pink one. But show the tongue. One. The logo on the tongue.
Yeah, it's a...
I wish I had, like, and it was...
They should have embroidered the AR, I think, would have been a little bit better. Because it's a big, like, vinyl-type patch here.
So I think this would have been embossed or stitched without the box around it. Just, like, the A on the tongue.
So, if I can ask the question, is there multiple tongues that you can put on that? Because right now, I'm going to be, like, everybody's least favorite English teacher and reference the Scarlet Letter. Because anytime you put a big red A on anything... My mind naturally goes to Puritan, Massachusetts, but
great shoe. That's the only one. All you got is stitched on there.
But let me get your thought on this, guys. It, to me, maybe this is intentional. Maybe I'm just wired a different way. It feels like a kin to the Mellow shoe and what Puma's doing. Like, there's something about that shoe that I could see them try to make that the Mellow shoe for girls in the sense of just very braggadocious, very boisterous colorways and enthusiasm and energy that seems to match the player.
I think they could do a lot with this one because it definitely has, they use the Engine A as the base. There's definitely some major changes to make it his own deal. But I feel like this shoe, when they start putting out more like diverse colors, I think you can see it a lot because just putting it on is very comfortable to start with. I like the depth, like they actually like kind of raise it, kind of like 3D off the shoe. So it's not flat. So I feel like, I don't know. It could be, like you said, the Mellow, like very, like put a lot of kind of like, attitude, a lot of personality into the shoe. So I think it gets dependent on what they do after these first three colorways. I think it could be a really seen shoe on court, honestly.
So, Rowan, I never saw or drew the Mellow comparison, but I love that you made it because it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
It's much more refined than the LaMelo. There's definitely elements that are similar. Like, the overlays are... They're similar, but just toned down 4 degrees or 4 notches on like the, if the LaMelo's a 10, these are like a 6 on like the bold scale, but it works because she's a bold woman in terms of her fashion off the court, bold play style. I haven't played them yet. I'm going to play it in them next week. That the area Mike was just referencing, it looks like it gives really good lockdown. She's jumping around a lot. She's very athletic on the court. So I'm excited to see how they feel. They look like they're going to feel good. I just tried them on around the house, but it's definitely reminiscent of LaMelo stuff, but just, I don't want to say like LaMelo isn't classy, but these just feel classier.
They're cleaner. They seem like with LaMelo stuff, they get a bit wild where it's kind of hard to wear them off the basketball court, where these are still, of course, performance shoes, but I feel like, I think Robbie said it best. They're toned down a couple notches where it's still respectable. I don't feel like a child wearing these, you know, around other adults, basically.
That's a good way to say it. Because, like, when I work little kids' camps, LaMelo's, and to that point, the Scoot Henderson shoe looks great on kids.
Mm-hmm. Forget about that shoe.
It fits a kid's shoe great. But as an adult, when I see grown men at the rec or at LA Fitness, LaMelo's do look goofy. These don't look goofy in that same way. Mm-hmm. So that's just one. And I believe the Angel Reshoot, they're out already. They haven't had the full extended sizing because I had a couple friends, ladies, who said, oh, I can't get them in that size. No, guys reach out so they can't get them in their size yet. But they're coming. Pearl, pink, and the third one's black, Mike?
Yeah, so it's white. It's a white cage with a black underlay, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. It's called Receipts. That's the Receipts colorway, or Keeping Receipts, whatever it's called. Dope look. A lot of people like that one. Probably out of, like, I know a lot of men I spoke to really like that one because it's more neutral. But I think all three of them are pretty solid, honestly.
The pearl's the best, in my opinion. Like that.
Pearl, yeah, I just don't like the little pearl on it, but I can just take them off the laces, the little Dubray or whatever. But
I did. Like, I don't, for that exact reason. That's a little much, but the iridescent is really subtle.
Oh, beautiful.
It looks good. It's kind of eggshelly in a way. Yeah. Eggshelly silver. Mm-hmm. But so speaking of style, because Angel Reese is definitely a very stylish woman. It's not Shea. I think it's irrefutable. He's the most stylish man in the NBA. Three or four colorways dropping of his Shea ones. I'll let Rogue kind of take over with that one.
Yeah, I think we've had one, which was the butter colorway that already dropped, which felt like a limited release. And then on October 2nd, and this is a theme we'll also kind of touch on with some of the other releases in this episode, is we have a high-profile shoe dropping on October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And with Shea, he's got three colorways. And the other cool aspect of the Shea family tree, if you will, is the fact that each of these shoes represents a different member of the family. I believe blue represents his cool brother. The clayish colorway represents it's his wife's eyes or his son's eyes, and then one of them represents his actual mom. So you guys know me. I'm a sucker for storytelling as well as family. So I think out of the three, I really like the blue a lot. Maybe that's my Chelsea bias showing through and through. But at the end of the day, the other thing I always kind of draw back to this is we always talk about a lineage or a spiritual successor to shoes gone by, or maybe shoes that we haven't seen yet in the official sense, but we've seen through leaks. And the thing that resonated with me, and I'm really wondering if Converse did this intentionally or not, because I haven't seen any marketing around this, is Oklahoma City once belonged to a town called Seattle. And the most prominent Seattle basketball sneaker I can think of was the Glove. Mm-hmm. And that had a shroud and that had a zip up as well. And that is probably the most distinguished feature of this Shea shoe coming out. And I'm wondering, was that kind of subtly done to kind of say, hey, here's a linkage between two eras, because there's probably nothing in common between the great cities of Oklahoma City and Seattle, but maybe this is an olive branch of a sort. But what do you guys make of the Shea shoe? Are there any colorways that have resonated with you? Or do you guys wish they were a little bit even more adventurous in terms of the fashion sense that we've kind of always alluded to when we talk about Gilgeous Alexander?
Mike, I'm going to hand it to you right after this quick comment, because Rohit brought up what the shoes meant. Mozzie Blue, I'm guessing that's the eyes.
Mozzie's his brother. I know that.
Okay, I'm wrong then. So, frustration point here. I'm on the sneakers app. When they do have a blurb about the shoe, it could be really kind of annoying and nothing. These don't even have any mention of any of, like, the connections you just tried to bring.
I think the all-black one's about his mom. I remember seeing some blurbs about it somewhere.
Questioning, but the sneaker app should say.
Oh, it should.
It's the same blurb for all three shoes, so they just copy and pasted the same blurb three times.
Yeah, they should be better about that.
Like,
Robbie, if I can ask you, since you're on the sneakers app, does the title of the shoe say anything?
Yeah, it says Hallie Clay, Charm Black, wife. And Mozzie Blue. But
so, black, yep. So, like I said, I guess we're doing the listeners and hopefully the buyers of the sneakers a service by kind of breaking down the mythology, and you're welcome, Nike, or more importantly, Converse. But at the end of the day, it does leave a lot to be desired, because I think if people actually know about that story, like, it's a very cool story that's still being told. In fact, one of my favorite things about the prior colorway release was his cousin, I believe, Nicholas Alexander Walker, and apologies, guys, I've become more and more of a parent. I've become less and less of an NBA diehard. I'm definitely a casual fan. I believe his cousin stood in line with the masses for 9 hours to be one of the first people to purchase the shoe in Toronto. So family is something that runs deep, and we don't know if it's a Canadian thing or if it's a Gilgeous Alexander Walker. Like, I say that five times fast, but so something really fascinating to watch and kind of just see that, hey, are we also going to get, as I like to call him, a Gnaw colorway, since that's Nicholas Alexander Walker.
We're going to talk about this other shoe too, but here's the blurb. The Shea 001 harmonizes comfort, containment, durability, and style into a performance basketball shoe that delivers an exceptional experience on and off the court. That's a very nice blurb. They copy and pasted it three times. Here's the LeBron for his debut colorways. How many players can say that there's 40,000, they're in the 40,000 point club? Just one, LeBron James. The LeBron 23 Uncharted salutes his standalone status as the greatest scorer of all time, honoring his longevity and sustained greatness. There's five paragraphs on the LeBron 23, and there's a copy and paste blurb about the Shea. do better. But I'm going to pass it to Mike after I say the shroud I still don't like. But from the heel look, you look at the shoe from behind, I love the back of that shoe. It's absolutely gorgeous. If they release a second version without the shroud, I'm a buyer instantly. The design's great. The tongue, they'd probably have to modify if they did a shroudless version. But the heel looks great. The grip looks great. The tech looks great. I just don't like the shroud. And that's a me problem, not the shoes.
You're traditionally
problem.
A shroud hater, we know.
Yeah. But after all, I didn't mean to be a hater like that, but do better. That's like don't copy and paste the same thing three times. Mike, what do you think about
the cool story there?
Right. Yeah. Especially when there's definitely a story behind it. You know, there are very few times that I am okay with a triple black shoe, but with the Shai 001, I think they did. I like the triple black one, weirdly enough. I think it might be my favorite of the group, which is weird for me, but I think the shoe looks great. I think that I'm glad it is not just especially coming from Nike, a copy and paste of here's some Kobe DNA, let's change it up a bit, and boom, we have Shai's shoe. So I'm really glad that they did something original. It does speak to him in his fashion sense, because you look at that shoe, you can see that being kind of the high fashion, like, runway shoe kind of deal, while still maintaining his performance. So I think how they designed it is perfect. It gives you the sleekness with the zip up, but also if you want to give it that bulky look like people used to wear the glove, like unzip it. So it really gives you some options with the shoe to be casual and, you know, both on and off court. But I think it's great. I wish they would. My biggest complaint is the rollout. This should have been out during the finals, personally. This shoe should have already been in people's hands. They waited till the cool off of a whole new season starting before release is about to happen. So in my mind, I feel like they're kind of giving the Devin Booker treatment almost, but at least they released him in OKC first and Canada. But they could have done better with the rollout, I feel like.
So, and to your point as well, Mike, the pair that was the most ubiquitous during the finals was the all-gold pair. Mm-hmm. That would have been the perfect example of a pre-heat drop. Like, it's that something that he only has.
Yep.
But, I mean, LeBron's typically do come out in October. Signature shoes come out in October. I get that. Why did they push that, and not just Nike, every brand? Why did they push that until so far till after school? If these came out in the finals in June, these could have been already, kids could have worn through a pair in the summer already, and then back to school comes and they're ready for a second pair.
Well, that's like the Ja. I know we're going to talk about that one as well, but the Ja came out at a perfect time where I've seen a handful of kids now in that shoe already since it's come out. I'm like, he did it right.
He's healthy. There's excitement. That's going to succeed. The Ja 3, here's a flip side of that coin. The Ja 3 is poised to have a much better reaction and, I think, sales numbers than the Ja 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Various reasons why. All I'm going to say is they set up for that shoe to be really good and for it to be really good. The Sabrina 3 is done, I think, the complete opposite. I don't see anybody in the Sabrina 3. I didn't know there wasn't a rollout for that shoe. The first two are rocking. I see everybody in the Sabrina 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people I've asked them, like at LA Fitness, do you know there's a Sabrina 3 out? No idea.
Like, that's crazy.
They've stubbed their toe on that Sabrina 3, in my opinion.
But maybe they're comfortable with the fact that that is the professional hooper's shoe of choice, because that's the one thing we've always kind of been seeing, especially the last 18 months. It feels like every week we get some sort of new article saying, hey guys, this is the shoe of the NBA and the WNBA, and maybe they're okay with that. That being said, I think the limited amount of PR that they did evolved that home improvement theme. I believe Steve Nash was in that commercial, but even then, like, it wasn't that memorable in that sense of, yes, you had some of the younger talent, and ironically, some of the younger male talent in the NBA that was a part of that campaign, but nothing about it felt memorable. And maybe that's the whole point of the shoe, is like, you're going back to basics, you're going back to the blueprint of building a shoe. But for as much energy that has been associated with that brand since its inception, yeah, it does feel like a step down.
The first two, it just doesn't look as good as the first two. And the Ja 3 looks better than the first two. So it's like they just like tipped.
It flip-flopped there.
So, yeah, I just want to say that about the Sabrina. So, like, I literally asked people, and they do not know that shoe exists. So that means going on to, like, they buy shoe. Like, you can go on the Nike app. I have. It doesn't put that shoe front and center, like, anywhere on the basketball tab. And like they had done for the two in the first one.
Well, they're pushing different. They're pushing Ja, and then they're pushing Asia.
But
these
people just agree to too. I mean, like, it's just
they should. They don't know the balance. That's the thing. There's a balance issue of being able to push everything.
I
like
Asia had a shoe. I'm not gonna. I straight up forgot that shoe came out. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm like, oh, I like that too. It's a good looking shoe.
No, it's a great looking shoe. I haven't tried it out yet. It's on my list. It's just there's too many things. I'm not made of money. So
the Asia.
Asia.
Which is funny because, and I don't want to bring this back to the old topic, I also thought that what we're seeing with the Angel shoe was eerily reminiscent of the Asia shoe, where we had three different colorways. One was a pink, one was a pearlized one, then that third color was kind of based on whatever you wanted to draw of it. I like the Asia shoe. My Uncle Roe suggestion to everybody is definitely size up on that. It's definitely a little bit tighter than what I anticipated, and it's not true to size. So if you can have the luxury of sizing up, go ahead and do it and thank your boy.
And they team banked it off the jump. Like, you go on Nike.com really right now, black and white, red and white, white on white, gray on white. They team banked the shoe instantly.
They definitely did.
There's a really, really beautiful sunshine colorway.
Yes.
That looks great. Like, Rohit, thank you for telling me that it's a half size larger, because if I buy a pair, that's a gorgeous colorway. That blue one is really nice, the pink. But like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 12 colorways already. Half of them are Team Banks. And like that, I don't like that.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Let's put it this way. Already. It's very interesting because some of the previous episodes that we've talked about in recent memory have been about how Adidas has protected the AAU1 and they haven't team banked it to death right off the bat. And they've been very selective with how frequently or infrequently they release colorways and how even the college teams that are in Adidas's basketball portfolio also don't readily have access to it the way they may other signature product. It seems that Nike is taking the approach of let's make this the shoe for every man, or more importantly, every woman. Yeah. And I think you guys let me know, because I tend to look at things from a berm shrouded perspective, but I have not seen as much of an outlook and an outreach about a shoe as much as I did the Asia 1 coming up to its release, and specifically from women. So in that regard, I thought it may have already just kind of won the hearts and minds, and maybe that's part of the reason why they went ahead and said, yeah, let's go ahead and give the team bank approach to this, because it's a resonating shoe.
I will say I was just on a Nike app looking at it while we were talking, and a lot of Asia shoes, like, I mean, at least I know it's set to my size, but I was scrolling through the sizes. A lot of them are sold out. And
it looks, I just don't like how they team banked it. But that Sunshine,
that Sunshine one's beautiful, really nice looking. I hadn't seen that one until just now.
Also, the $45 t-shirt of just the fake vintage looking t-shirt, girl, buy. Like, And
okay, that's what they do want. They want the girls to buy, Robbie.
No,
it's a double
like,
entendre.
Yeah, right.
Not for us.
Oh, damn you. That was a good setup. But he's like, I wanted to go. I like the new Trailblazer jersey look. They got rid of a lot of the silver on the piping. It's a lot more. It's a rare instance of, I think, dulling down the aesthetic being a huge payoff. They're not even purchasable on Nike.com. All you can buy is a $45 Dame t-shirt.
Well, have you released the new jerseys yet for purchase?
I don't think that they have. Because if they had released the new jerseys, I think, Robbie, it would be fair to say that Hanson Yang would be winning everything in terms of jersey sales. Like, the buzz that man has generated.
I want one. No, that's what I was looking for. I kid you not.
Dude, I want the Timberwolves jersey coming. The one with the trees coming back. I'm a Timberwolves fan, but I love that jersey. And I wish the Rockets would go back to the old cartoon.
Not only that, I mean, Mike, the internet was also awash with the fact that we're getting the infamous black Sixers jersey that most of us associate with Allen Iverson.
The black
Chinese. That one too.
That's still an abomination. Bring back the sparkling silver Dallas Mavericks ones.
The Diddy designed ones that only lasted for one season, because the future kind of knew, like, hey, we can't give Diddy anything longer than one season of a runway.
We can't do this.
These are freak off jerseys. We can't be having. We can't be
having. Baby oil's been spilled on them. What's happening here?
We have old Antoine Walker in this jersey. Get him out of here. So, speaking of old Antoine Walker, I feel like the LeBron 23 is what an old Antoine Walker would wear to go play pickup basketball right now. I understand why I will never be hired by Nike from what I'm about to say. Stop making the LeBron line. Celebrate LeBron. Cornerstone him. throw like they just did the Air Max Joey, like the Air Max 95 Joey Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. Throw the LeBron's logo on Air Maxes. Like, stop making LeBron signature shoes. Them shoes is ugly as ass.
You don't like them?
They look like Tron. Like, but Tron from like Chappelle Show.
They look like
Tron. It's like a Tron from Chappelle Show and Tron, the Disney franchise, had a baby. You had the LeBron 23.
I think it's a good shoe. You don't like it? I don't like the first colorway. I don't like that 40,000 colorway or 40K gold. That one's too much, but like the twice Miami or whatever it's called. I think it really is color dependent, just the way it designed that shoe with that crown deal on the side. It really is colorway dependent on how that shoe comes out.
I only saw the gold ones. I got to find out what you're talking about.
There's the two times in Miami or whatever it's called, celebrating his repeat in Miami. It's like this kind of South Beach-ish look. I think it looks way better than the first pair. I don't like the iridescent gold. You can't wear that.
I don't like how they tried. It reads to me like they tried to extend the crown logo so big it is the whole medial counter. Like, that's all the stability. It's a huge, like, crown logo. Dumb.
My complaint about the shoe is the price point of what? $210? And I think it's just a drop in Zoom X or something like that.
That gold, I mean, I got to Google this, the Miami. Maybe it'll change my mind.
I'm looking at the technology, because usually LeBron's like the pinnacle of technology when it comes to his shoe, right? But when it comes to this new one, oh my gosh, 23
okay,
tech.
Okay.
It's better, right?
It is 1 trillion times better.
See?
That
it's that first colorway sucks.
Uncharted colorway is an abomination.
Which one is that one? I haven't seen that one.
It's the gold one. That's called the Uncharted.
Oh, I don't know why. I was reading
the blurb earlier. It's exploration through his being the only player in the 40,000 club. He's in uncharted territory. All right. That Miami Dolphins looking Miami one, 1 trillion times better.
Oh, yeah. A gazillion times better. But, dude, this is a drop-in. It's a drop-in Zoom X that I'm paying $210 for. Why am I not getting, like, a Zoom Strobel, getting, like, the late? Like, that's what LeBron was always known for. Latest tech. I'm still spending $200 on something that's a drop in Zoom midsole.
You're paying for the crushed diamond swoosh.
I'm killing me, man. That's my only pain point about it is like, I'm not buying this until they go on sale, which at this rate, I mean, the first one's going to sell out just because people want the first one, but I am okay to wait 6 months and get it for $150.
I can see a white, black, and red colorway being better on this. They're probably not going to make a Lakers colorway, but they do.
They might. There's 23 colorways that span his career.
I don't love it still, but it looks night and day better.
Well, look up I think it's called the Arrival. It's based off the first Air Zoom generation. That one might be the best one.
Yeah. The little crimson red.
Yeah. That one is the white top, crimson red. I think that's literally the best one I've seen so far. But again, I think it's way too many colorways. 23 colorways of a basketball shoe is too much. Like, I don't need 23 colors.
You mean 24 pairs of shoes on sale?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
How did that happen? How did you get 23 and 24 went on sale? I don't know. They'll find a way.
it's a team bank one. It's just sad. Yeah.
But like, man, team banking the Asia, and like, I don't know why I feel like that's such a negative thing, but like, I think of a team bank shoe as a serviceable shoe on the end of its life cycle. They don't want to put any more color production costs. So they're just going white with a little bit of plastic red or plastic green, plastic blue, et cetera.
Well, Kobe's did that. I mean,
no, exactly,
Kobe's, but they did it within the life cycle, didn't they? I don't remember like when they came up.
It would be cool colorway, cool colorway, cool colorway, cool colorway, cool colorway. And then team banks. But that's also Kobe's weren't elevate. Like Kobe's were just, for lack of a better word, normal ass basketball shoes when Kobe's were first out, because
very true,
they were normal ass basketball shoes.
You can get only time you had to only time you had to pick up was Christmas, I guess, with people or All Star.
Yeah, so I mean Christmas, Chinese holidays, Western, like Eastern, yeah. Western holiday, like there's,
well, when they got rid of the rule of what colors you can wear with your sneakers on court, even though I love seeing the things they do, it ruined the allure of what they can put out, because now instead of putting out really cool shoes for, like you said, pick a couple of days off the calendar, now it's every week there's some kind of crazy colorway, and it's like, A, I can't keep up, and B, now you're just killing us because half of these colorways don't make sense.
Yeah, it don't make sense at all. and that's okay, but they're not for like,
not for us.
To your point, like when, or I guess to your point, but when everything is special, nobody's special. What, the Incredibles?
Oh yeah. When it, yeah.
When every syndrome. Day could be any kind of shoe, no day shoe is important.
So no, that's true.
Let's wrap up here with the shoe you have in your hand.
Boop.
That, I mean, I'll let you take it away. You've had it for a while now.
Yeah, I had this one for probably about a month now. And I like it, dude. Right off the bat, it wasn't just, hey, let's go ahead and bring the AE1 back with a couple different changes. They actually changed a lot of things to improve. I know people are like, oh, it's not the same, which, I mean, look, I will give the AE1 this. I love the AE1. One of my favorite shoes of like recent history. This TPU cage allowed for some really cool looks, some really cool colors to be put on. And I think that's what people are kind of like, oh, it's not going to be the same, which I got you. But this shoe lends to some really cool options, I feel like, with the designs that can be printed into the mesh, things you can do. You can still put like really like cool, if you want to do pearlescence, chromes on this cage. But the shoe is head and shoulders lighter. It is actually more comfortable, I feel like. If you do buy it, I say go half size up because it definitely is true to size, like one-to-one fit for a hooper. If you're good. Casually wearing it, go half size up for sure. But, I think they did a good job. And I think people are coming around to it now. You know, just initially, sneakerheads are like the most pessimistic sons of guns on earth. So when they saw this, they're like, oh, I hate it immediately. But now, as more and more is coming out about it, people are getting them in hand. The tune's changing a bit. And I think that's going to happen because it's just a good looking shoe. Like I said, it looks fast. I think it looks like a freaking, like a carbon fiber plates on the back. Looks real sports car-ish, really fast. Something Adidas was, you know, back in the D-Rose days, that's what they're known for, just really quick, speedy-looking shoe. And I think they brought that back here with the
AE2. It looks crazy fast, pun intended. I believe that was the name of a basketball shoe. But, like, to your point of it being mixed at best upon first photos, people think those shiny-ass lens flared photos of like initial leaks are gonna like, they make it factor too much into their perception of the shoe early.
Exactly.
I saw a couple leaks photos. I was like, I'll see it when I see it, like towards release time. When I get the email from Adidas and I show the official photos, I'll be looking at those. And I was happy to have done that because they look really cool. And I didn't get this until recently. His logo kind of has that, like, the hashes in it.
Yeah.
That front counter kind of looks like it. Yeah, like the front of the shoe looks like that.
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean, I guess if you flip it this way, you can kind of get more of that look if you get that top-down, like, bird's eye view.
It gives me the feeling of it. It doesn't have to be a one-to-one, like, the fit of the shoe. But, like, it's a stupid thing. I feel so stupid talking about shoes sometimes. It's a smartly designed shoe. It's different. It looks like they cut down on bulk, but kept a lot of the same design properties.
Lower profile, so you really get court feel without, and you get, I feel like, a better cushioning in here. It is, from what I've understood, I haven't got the full, I can pull up Adidas now since they've actually put them on the site, but I think it's a breakdown of light strike and light boost, if I'm not mistaken. But we can verify this here in just like 2 seconds. I like, people always talk about, oh, the shoes are just looking the same over and over again. It's like, but when you get something that is different, you're complaining too. Like, really, sneakerheads are just not, you can't please them.
I don't get, I mean, I guess the only way someone could look at that Anthony Edwards 2 and say it looks like the Anthony Edwards 1 is if you squint and you think, huh, there's a lot of plastic on the side. That's the only way I could think of the shoe being
toe box is the only thing I get.
Similar.
If you look at the toe box, but the one on the, I feel like the one but on the shoe is a bit
so
wider.
Like, when you use, I mean, the Yeezys did the same thing for years. Mm-hmm. The exact same toe box front look the same. You look at it down at your feet.
Yep.
But the way those shoes are designed with the hard TPUs on the side, you have to have the front toe box like that, or you're not going to have any bend.
Yep.
So it's like not so much a design choice, more so of like
functionality,
a structural necessity.
Yeah.
So like, I did
double check
that your shoe has a plastic heel counter too. It's like, if shoes are going to be designed that way to cut down on weight and still have stability on the sides, then you got to have a really flexible front toe.
100%.
So like, it's not a feature, not a negative, in my opinion.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting from it. And I mean, I know people get still hung up on a Yeezy thing. They're like, oh, it looks just like a Yeezy. I'm like,
no, it doesn't. The Yeezy, what was it even called? The Omni or Quantum?
Quantum. Thank you. I was like, that's I had a pair at one
Quantum.
Point.
Yeah. The Quantum wishes it looked like that Anthony Edwards shoe.
Like I said, a toe box, a little bit of similarity, just with that, again, we talk about being flexible, but besides
guess
the...
what? The same fucking producer. It's like, what are you mad it doesn't look like a Puma? Or are you mad it doesn't look like a Reebok? Like, what are you...
Yeah. Well, they don't realize that Kanye didn't design every one of those sneakers. He did like a lot of like the slides and stuff, but yeah. Adidas was doing a designing of a lot of the performance side of things, and that's their stuff. So if you look at anything with any brand, they take cues from things that worked, put them on new things, and improve on them. So
same show, different episode, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
On that note, this has been a pretty tight time-wise episode. We got through Anthony Edwards, LeBron, Ja, Angel Reese,
Asia, Sabrina.
Yeah.
Shay.
Good stuff.
Yeah. There we,
well, we didn't bring up Halliburton, the Halle 1.
Oh, dude, Hallelujah. I think those dropped today.
What the Halle? That the Halle? He's so lucky that song exists to like help his brand.
Okay. To end off that, I don't want to stay on this too long. I am very upset the colorway they dropped first.
Yeah, that blue is whack.
Oh, it's that like, that like should have been a Team Bank shoe.
They released a Team Bank shoe.
They released a Team Bank shoe. Like, where's that pink one? I'm like, that's the one, man.
Yeah, the pink looks way better. That blue is the most royal blue ass, old head ass.
It was pretty team whack.
Bank shoe I've seen.
It was pretty
I also don't like the bubble. It looks like it has like little bubbles on it.
Yeah, what was that Salehi's like little fingerprint design you're talking about? Or are you talking about
the I don't like that. I mean, eh. But the overall design, I say overall, positive. I need to see some better colorways. That blue is not it.
That blue was not it. And
if you're going to do a single colorway, do it Pacer yellow, Pacer gold.
Something. They could have done anything besides that blue. Like, that's literally like I'm going to Dick's Sporting Goods. I just need a shoe to practice in.
No, that looks like a Dick's Sporting Goods store exclusive colorway. Like, they don't even sell that one. You know what I'm talking about. They have like the extra boring colorways.
I know what you're talking about. It's literally the ones that you like in the magazine. You're like, hey, that's the one you have to get for your team. That's the one your coach said goodbye.
That's the one for where the guys where his wife goes shopping for him. And the wife's just like, I know he likes blue basketball shoes. And
good enough. That's a close.
Some blue basketball shoes here. These aren't, I can hear them saying, quote unquote, they're not too flashy.
Dude, that's exactly what I get about that. They're not too flashy. You know, where they're trying to push that. I love the, like the grocery store thing, I'm like, but you put the worst shoe that you could possibly think of on that ad. So they'll figure that out, I hope.
There needs to be a happy balance between grocery store and on sale at the grocery store.
Them things are definitely 50% off on the, we're going to throw this meat away later.
Don't be throwing that meat around, Mike. But all right, let's call it there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for another great episode. Hope you're excited for the NBA season. I know I am. Everybody, peace out. Have a good day.
See you, everybody.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.